Welcome to the Chief AI Officer Podcast,
where AI meets leadership.
And here is your host, Sanjay Puri.
Welcome to the CIO Podcast, where we explore the world of enterprise AI through conversations with chief AI officers and leaders driving AI initiatives in Fortune 500 companies and government agencies. I'm your host, Sanjay Puri, and today we are thrilled to have Jay Prasad joining us. Jay serves as Ernst & Young's EY's Global Leader Emerging Technology Ecosystem, managing a portfolio of relationships with emerging AI and data platform technology companies and investors. With over 30 years of experience at EY, Jay has held numerous leadership roles and is at the forefront of driving AI innovation and partnerships. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Sanjay. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
Wonderful. Jay, we have a global audience. We have chief AI officers, people who aspire to be one. We have AI experts, product companies who are interested in selling to chief AI officers, and we have entrepreneurs listening in. So can you just tell some of the people who are wanting to grow up to be JS to just walk us briefly through your journey to becoming EY's Global Leader Emerging Technology Ecosystem?
Oh, boy. So just recently, sometime over the summer, Sanjay, I think I completed 33 years with EY, which is, it just kind of went by quickly. I almost didn't notice. And I think one of the reasons why it's gone by quickly is that within our organization, I've had the opportunity to do a bunch of different things. So this role that you mentioned is one of maybe six or seven that I've had in the time that I've been here. So as you know, the firm traditionally has been an audit and tax firm, and that continues to be very important to us. But we have a very large consulting business now that we used to have one in the 90s, which we sold at the turn of the century. And then we restarted it maybe 17 years ago. And that affords us the opportunity, I think, to sort of, how do I say it? To do really well trading on our relationships, because it's a big part of what we do. We're a market-driven organization in the sense that we're very focused on long-term relationships with our clients. And so it's very natural then that you're able to do additional things for your clients where permitted by regulation to help. And that's generally been the thing that's driven the partners within the firm, myself included, to do different things, to have different experiences. So this particular role happened, I would say, naturally, because my prior roles that I've had before this, one of them, I was the vice chair of risk management, and that was really important because what it did was to streamline and set up processes by which we can relate with other organizations, business relationships, within the constraints of the regulations that we have to live under. So that's been extremely helpful to this role right now for our business, for our firm. In addition to that, my entire career I spent serving clients. So I have a good understanding, a good feel for what they're looking for. And that informs the type of activities that we get into right now when we seek out, build relationships and curate these emerging tech relationships that you mentioned in the intro that we do with my team. So, I mean, I'm an accountant. I went to business school. I have a bunch of different educational backgrounds. But those things, I believe, are important contributors to client service. And client service is the absolute secret sauce to what we do. And I believe that it is the secret sauce to what we do in the emerging technology ecosystem, because what we want to do here is to get our relationships into client situations as quickly as possible. So you have to have a good understanding of what it takes to serve those clients and to address their issues over a period of time, Sanjay, as I mentioned earlier. I mean, we're very much a relationship organization. So I meandered a little bit perhaps in that answer, but what I'm really trying to get to is that I think the diversity of experience is super important, you know, in our careers. We all know that. You have to be good at things, of course, because clients buy you know, like competence and specialties. But I think the more that you can broaden yourself, you know, the better off you'll be in the long run when you're in the client service business, because you have to be able to define the problem before you can actually solve it. So anyway, let me pause there.
No, I think what you made two important points. As I said, for, you know, you've had, as you said, 33 years, which generally doesn't happen these days, somebody having what you said is having different backgrounds, whether it's in risk management, client interface, and others, really prepares you or has prepared you for this very, very important role. And I think that's a great message, because sometimes people have this tunnel vision, I'm going to do ML or I'm going to do data analytics and I'm just going to be great at it. And maybe you will be great at it, but from a leadership standpoint, because you face many different challenges. Jay, in this role specifically, what you have to deal with innovation, right? So just from a, maybe from an average day standpoint, what is it that you do? This is for our listeners who are really, when they see these big titles, you know, sometimes people's eyes glaze through because there's so many different titles these days. So just simplify it for our audience.
Oh yeah, it's a great question. And especially when the word global is in it, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So day to day is just a lot of blocking and tackling and hard work, right? I mean, so mm-hmm. we, the core team, my core team is not very big. I mean, we're less than 10 people, but we have lots of people within country, right? So we have, mm-hmm. in the United States, I mean, I don't know, a lot, right? And then, you know, we're focused on about 15 countries, which we believe are important. So in Europe and in Asia as well. So what does a day look like? The core team, our job is to make sure that we are enabling the teams that we have in each of the countries. And so we have a series of calls that we do on a regular basis, with what's going on, what's happening, you know, what are the relationships? You said you were going to do this. This sector, these clients are telling us they need this particular, they have this particular need. Who are we meeting? Are we meeting with the venture capital firms? Are we doing that on a regular basis? How many companies in their portfolio would be interesting to solve a cybersecurity problem? I'm just making that up, right? And let's go out there, spend the day, meet with them, try to understand what their value proposition is, connect back with the client environment within the firm, make sure that we are embedding that particular company solution into our service pack, and then lots of follow-up, Sanjay, because that's the key to the whole thing, right? You know, you have to, because by its nature is new, right? And the companies that we deal with, the relationships that we form, these are smaller companies. They don't have the kind of infrastructure and process that big firms do, like us. Right. Mm-hmm. So what we bring to the table are the relationships with our clients and a sales force, if you like, for those companies. Mm-hmm. And what they bring is pretty terrific innovation, right? In those mm-hmm. key areas that we're focused on. So a lot of my time during the week is working with the teams to make sure that we keep things moving, right? Mm-hmm. And that what the promises that we've made to people, both the partners within the firm about helping them to serve their clients better, and to the companies, the emerging tech companies and their investors, about how we can be valuable to them, keeping it, right? And that's really the key to my focus, is delivering on what we said we were going to do. So you're right. I mean, these titles are big and fancy, but I think you've got to show results. And the results for us are having a solid portfolio of companies, with those companies, you know, having good pipeline within the clients that we serve, and hopefully those pipelines that turn into sales and, you know, and revenues. And the teams do that. We just make sure that keeps moving.
No, I think this is very helpful. And just one more for my, and maybe our audience, clarification. the VCs are not your clients. It's the portfolio of those, let's just say Mayfield's portfolio or Kleiner's portfolio or Sequoia's portfolio would be clients. And they, their technology is brought in to your partners so that you can bring best of breed solutions to your clients, which obviously can result in sales. But you evaluate those companies in terms of identifying the best of breed technologies, et cetera, to bring to your clients ultimately. Is that just a fair understanding?
Exactly right. So what we often talk about with the VCs and with the portfolio companies is we're really at an opportunity to de-risk a VC's investment pretty quickly, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. you'll know once we bring that company in and it's got a stable product and it's solving a client need, all of those things are important, mm-hmm. assuming all of that's in place. You'll know pretty quickly whether it works or not, right? In, mm-hmm. in from a market sense. And so we work hard to get our partners to use them as a part of a solution. So we don't resell. I mean, sometimes that happens, but that's not really our business. You know, our business is to bring these innovative technology, the products that these guys develop and sell into our solutions, and we both win. So we win with our consulting and, you know, they win with their product sales. So I think your summary is spot on.
Okay. Well, because we have a lot of startup entrepreneurs who listen to this, so it is very important. What I think Jay offers is a tremendous channel opportunity if you have best of breed solutions for their clients. If you know EY is global, as he said, 13 key countries, regions. So I think it is great. And Jay, some of our listeners have amazing solutions. Well, every entrepreneur thinks they have the best.
Sure.
And if they don't, they should not be entrepreneurs. They should, they can or should maybe reach out to you, correct?
Well, I would love that. We're all about relationships. We want to talk to everybody mm-hmm. who has an interest. We'll take a look at what you guys do, mm-hmm. try and get a match with what we're looking for. Well, more specifically, what our clients are looking for, and get into a market discussion as quickly as possible. I mean, that's the key to the whole thing. We're not doing a whole bunch of lab work, Sanjay. This is all very client focused, and we like to move through it pretty quickly. I mean, so you know, some work, some may not work now, but they could work later. Right. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's really, really important that every relationship, every conversation we have is a constructive one. I would love to talk to the people in the audience who'd have an interest in, you know, working with us.
Just a quick final point for them. Any specific criteria that you kind of identified when you look for these companies so that we don't have people just blindly bombarding you, so that we kind of screen this out, so that you do want to come on our podcast again. We do want to make sure of that, Jay.
No, oh sure. I mean, it's a great point, Sanjay. That the product should be stable. I mean, you need to have a stable product that solves a problem, and the problems we're focused on. I mean, Sanjay, everything is AI right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But there's a lot more happening, you know, in addition to AI. So AI and data obviously are super important. Cybersecurity is super important. You know, we do a bunch of work in fintech. I mean, every one of the emerging technology trends that you can see that the banks publish or that the tech community publishes, that's what we're focused on. It's just that AI is like 80% of everything right now.
No, that's a great point. So AI, fintech, some key emerging technologies. And I think one thing Jay did talk about is a ready product that probably has been at some clients already.
Yeah.
It can't be, you know, a beta or things of that nature. He's looking for a stable platform,
exactly.
Is what he's saying. Jay, do you work with incubators like YC or any of those, or is that too early for you?
It's a bit early. Okay. I was at, you know, we spent time talking. There's some good things happening in Canada in that aspect. So I grew up in Canada, so I go to Canada often, Sanjay.
So you're an ice hockey fan, but that's really your
Yeah. So I've been in Toronto. We've spent time with Creative Destruction Labs and people like that. Excellent organization, great companies, but it's a little early. I think many of them, though, as they mature, are good candidates to, you know, to work with us. So we maintain those relationships. It's a really big firm, Sanjay. We've got globally 400,000 people, and there's about almost 14,000 partners. And so there's a ton of these relationships that people have. And so I've been around here a long time. So there's a lot of internal network that we've got, but we formalized that into, we've got some excellent tools and a nice repository where all of these companies said that people can access it, and then they can actually post. Like, let's say, Sanjay, you're one of our partners in San Francisco, and you know, you have some clients or some acquaintances that are doing something interesting with a company that you feel that EY should take a look at. You would post it, and then that would feed our pipeline, so to speak. So it's very active in that sense, and you do need process, right? Because you can boil the ocean pretty quickly, and which is kind of what you hinted at a few moments ago. And you've got to focus it.
And these solutions can be global, or these are mainly US based.
It's innovation. Global. Yeah,
it's global.
It's global. So the way we operate globally, I think it's pretty effective. We have, we call them service lines, and you know, others, I guess, would call them businesses, but the consulting service line is a global service line. But realistically, Sanjay, the rubber hits the road at the client, right?
Yeah.
And all client relationships are local.
Yeah.
You know, you could be, Sanjay, you'd be the chair and CEO of, a big bank, but that bank is going to live in a country, and you're going to have an executive team in that country. And that's the root of all the relationships. Yeah. That said, we could develop something here in your operation in the US, or it could be in Europe, or it could be in India or wherever, right? But then it's on us within our internal network to sort of make sure that people make use of the things that we develop in different places. And we do a fair job of that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Just switching a little bit to internally to EY, Jay, from the startup ecosystem, and we'll come back to that. Has AI reshaped the way EY collaborates with technology companies and clients, in your view?
It is. It is changing it. Let me start. It's an excellent question. And I think that what month is this now? We're in September. So about a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, we sort of put together an EY AI program. We call it EY.AI. You know, we did a lot of marketing around that. And the way we addressed it was that we said, this AI is real. Generative AI is real. It's maybe the final piece of the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. Having a sort of natural language way of communicating with the tool. It will change everything we do. And since we're in the client service business, we should organize ourselves in a way that, you know, we could communicate effectively with the market and our stakeholders what we're doing, and communicate internally as well. So what we said was that it's going to transform the way we deal with our clients. So we had a sort of a group of activities called Transform Clients. And then we said it's going to change the way EY operates, and the group of activities that we call Transform EY. And then there was a third group of activities that we put together, and it goes with our purpose, is that we have a role to play. People have expectations of us. And so we call it Transform the World, which is very kind of bold, but basically it's AI for good, responsible AI. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we make our voice heard as it relates to using or applying this technology, not only effectively, but safely. And so that's how we organize ourselves. And then if you go into each one of those buckets that I just went through, Sanjay, you would have a bunch of things that we're doing And it's numerous, right? So we set up the program. It was a sort of a big program at the beginning. The program globally has become smaller, and it's become smaller on purpose because a lot of the things are now moving into the, I would call it, the rhythm of the business. Mm-hmm. So it's like flying an airplane. You kind of need to get it off the ground, right?
Yeah.
And then once it's off the ground, then you can sort of push it into the existing businesses, which is what is happening right now. So if I sort of go to, I don't know, just pick one, the Transform EUI one. Actually, it applies to all. So we sort of built our own model, if you like, tool called EYQ.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is, it's basically, it's a number of models that have been pulled together with enabling tools, and it was made available to all of our people last year. And the reason we did that was that it was really important to get people familiar and upskilled as quickly as possible. So it was like a year of experimentation, where we said, you guys go out and reuse. And then we made sure that it was within our environment, trained on our data, and completely walled off, right? So, you know, it's not pulling stuff from the internet. Nothing's going to the internet. And our people are using it and delivering their engagements. So that's going pretty well, right? Mm-hmm. But we're actually probably being more cautious than, you know, one might expect, because the reputation of the firm for confidentiality and those things, we can't mess that up. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of effort and controls around security and fairness and that kind of thing. But it's in everybody's hands now, Sanjay, and they're using it in their engagement. So the way we deliver services have changed, for sure. The way our clients interact with us are changing. And clients are in different places. Some are further along than we are, right? And so we're doing a fair bit of consulting work with them right now. So there's like a multi-billion-dollar pipeline and helping them to think about adopting AI. And certainly within the Transform the World activities, you know, we have a, I think, an important voice around things like the EU AI Act, you know, what's happening in the US, what's happening in other countries. So we're engaged and we're at the table. I mean, we work with some pretty big organizations around AI in education, AI in the developing world. I mean, these are important things that I think all of us should pay attention to, in addition to making sure that, you know, we use it for the benefit of our businesses. We also have to think about the society we live in and the far-reaching impact that it's having and it's going to have. So that's a long answer again, but basically it's within the fabric of everything we do right now.
A lot to unpack there. I think you made some excellent points. So let me see if I can just ask you and not forget. You said $1 billion plus a pipeline, and that's for probably, if I'm not mistaken, helping your clients AI enable their enterprises, so to speak. Right. Have companies' expectations change in terms of large consulting firms also, in terms of, you know, hey, you're using this EYQ, which I presume is adjusted all those years of amazing work that you've done, and McKinsey has done the same and others. So, you know, are clients thinking, hey, man, now you got all these things, or if McKinsey has all this, or Bain has all these things, what has changed? Do they expect better results, faster results, cheaper results? Just for our listeners, now, who are some of them will be your potential clients, so it might be counterproductive, but what the hell? These are people who are either hiring you or will be hiring you. So tell them what has changed in some ways.
Well, so they expect us to know what we're talking about. and which, you know, which is why I mentioned the program a year and a half ago, that we had to get the whole organization sort of up.
Right.
Which is not an easy thing to do. So what is that saying? You're only as strong as your weakest link. So they do expect us to have more knowledge, and they expect us to have application experience, that we would have done some of this summer before starting with ourselves. And then they expect us, because everybody is worried about this, they expect us to be responsible, right? and to help them to be responsible, that they don't lose their data, that they're not compromised, all that sort of stuff. So those are the things that I think every client conversation you have to keep in mind when you're having those discussions. And then what they want is they want payback, which is different now, Sanjay, than it was a year ago, right? A year ago, it was newer and people were experimenting and, you know, let's go buy stuff and let's go use stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's all happened in many cases. And now they're saying, when am I going to get the benefits of this? And so the finance departments have gotten very involved, right?
Mm.
And they're saying, okay, it's great to get a large language model and implement it, but what's the use case? What are you going to be doing with it? And perhaps more importantly, what's your strategic plan? What's your company strategy look like now with AI being a part of it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're helping there, and we've got some tools that we've come up with, something called the Value Accelerator, which is basically a strategic exercise with your client. To really exhaustively understand, where can I apply this? What value can I extract from applying it? Whether it's reducing costs or increasing revenues. And then, you know, you sort of overlay on top of that, the capacity for the organization to change or its readiness. And then the combination of those two things will then give you a list of places where you should go do this. And, you know, what we're seeing also is that, yeah, there's the foundational models, you know, the four big ones, but there are lots of little ones too, Sanjay, as you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are very focused on specific issues, problems, and we're seeing more of those being starting to be deployed because you can capture it better, right? You can control it better, and you can see the end faster, perhaps. So that's what's happening right now. And, you know, you asked the question earlier about how we're dealing with technology companies. I'd say now more than ever, in addition to the big, because you need the big. The big have scale and they have, you know, lots of resources to train these large models. But you also need the small, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that I'm focused on. And I think the two together can be very valuable. You know, we've certainly found that within our own environment. That's what we're seeing in our client environment as well.
So just, I think you made a great point that you had to balance the big and the small. And you said clients are now, let's say the CFOs listening in on the audience are starting to get in the mix as to where is my ROI, whatever the definition of the ROI. And you said you created this value evaluation thing from the standpoint. When you talked about the big and the small, does open source also fit into the equation at all, Jay?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, you would see this in your work, you know, in talking to the work you do in your consulting and other things and your guests. I mean, open source is powerful. I was in Colombia last week with a very large business group. You know, there were a couple of us down there and we gave a talk on AI. And they have the same questions that we have, right? Everybody's seeing the issues the same way, or a similar way, I should say. But there's lots and lots and lots of open source. wherever you are, there's open source. So I know there's a lot of conversations about what open source means and all of that sort of stuff. I don't know that I know enough about technology to actually have an opinion of how to best define it. But what I can tell you is when the conversations that we're having, it's right there at the table along with, you know, the open AIs of the world and others, you know, most definitely.
Well, that's good to know. One of the points you made several times, Jay, and I want to really come back to that because that's a question that has come up from several of the CIOs for you. You talked about responsible AI. You talked about the integrity, how clients are bringing that up more and more now that we are in the second year of this, so to speak, transformation. How are you looking at it internally, and what would be your suggestions for, you know, folks who are listening to you, chief AI officers, and other leaders who are setting this up? Because that is one of the top three questions, you know, ROI, talent, and governance, responsible AI. Those are the three things that keep coming up in my conversations with chief AI officers.
Excellent question. And by the way, I hear the same thing, Sanjay, that you've just said. Anything you do, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's AI or whether it's any of the other technologies that have been transformational, we should use them, right? And mm-hmm. But we should use them responsibly. So it's like getting into a car, mm-hmm. right? You get a new car and you want to drive the new car, and you know how to drive, so you get in there and you do it. But your expectation is that the car has brakes, right? And that if you need to stop or slow down, you can use those brakes. I think that's similar to what we have here, which is why people are saying, well, you know, I put this thing into the model, it's probabilistic, and it'll give me an answer that I don't quite know how it got that answer, right? On the one hand. And then on the other hand, you have people that are sort of freaking out over, you know, deep fakes and things like that, as they should, because mm-hmm. these are real problems, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that we have to find a way to address. So that you have the how it works, and then you have the focus on people using it for nefarious or bad purposes, right? Mm-hmm. If I can go along those two paths. So when we get to our client work, you have your AI principles, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you might have them, you know, we'll have them. They're all similar, right? Mm-hmm. And those principles have to turn into something that you can say, I can prove that, you know, I don't have bias, right? Within a certain range. So you're being more specific, we've got come up with this thing called the confidence index, mm-hmm. which is a big part of our branding, but it's a real tool. And mm-hmm. and what it is we take our 8 or 9 principles that we have, mm-hmm. and then we have a series of activities that we do within each one of them to give you a range of confidence, I guess, that we're hitting the mark on each one of those principles. That's how we're addressing it. Just yesterday, I was talking to a startup, wonderful company, mm-hmm. Very small, but they're very focused on sort of helping people to understand what's inside the black box, to use their words. And so they have a bunch of tools they use to measure what's happening in the model, what's going on in the model. There isn't certainty, but there are ranges that they can apply to it. And I think there are lots of people focused on this right now. Mm-hmm. The confidence index thing, I think, is on our website if anybody wanted to go take a look at it. But it's very, very sort of structured, right? Because mm-hmm. you can say one thing, Sanjay, that we have principles, whatever those principles mm-hmm. are, but you have to do something about each one of them, right? Mm-hmm. To say to your stakeholders later on that, you know, I've done the work to make sure that certainly within a range that I'm okay.
Right. So is this a tool that you, I mean, which sounds like a pretty impressive tool, and I would encourage our listeners to check out this confidence index. Is that a tool that is publicly available, or you share it with your clients, or you suggest everybody develop their own? Jay, this is for our listeners.
No, it's a great question. I mean, we have it. There's literature on it. We it's a part of our solution set. So, I mean, you talk to other firms like us, I mean, they would probably have something similar, right? Yeah, I would guess. I haven't really looked that hard, but it's getting better all the time.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we're all learning here. And I think this is a place where startups have a nice opportunity. You know,
wow.
Getting efficiencies out of the business and growing revenues are great. But, you know, helping people to say with confidence that I feel good about my 7, 8, 9 principles that I've set out, I think that's a wonderful opportunity. And it's tech driven, right? You can't do this with pencil and paper. So I mean the audience, I'm sure there's excellent people listening here.
Yes.
This is a nice place, I think, to think about some focus.
I think our startups, hopefully entrepreneurs are listening to Jay. A great opportunity. He talks about these tools from a governance, from a compliance, from responsible AI. He also talked about a tool that he listened to about explainability and the black box, which is also a big question that comes up. Jay, that thanks for that pointer. Jay, the other thing that comes up with chief AI officers is how does one balance innovation with risk management as far as AI deployment is concerned? What are your suggestions, given that you have a background, strong background in both?
Man, you've got good questions today, Sanjay. We spend a lot of time on that question within our firm. I mean, just given the nature of our brand, right? And what we do and the expectations people have of us. So to unpack it a little bit, we're absolutely fanatic about the data, protecting the data, right? If you're my client, I cannot use your information, your data without your permission. And I cannot mix it up with other people's, and you wouldn't want me to do that unless you gave me permission, right? And so I think if you're a consumer products company or what have you, this is obviously a very important social debate about what people do with our information, but I think any responsible organization should make sure that we are in compliance with what our customers expect of us, right? And that's beyond the law. I think you have to be a good steward of the data and the information that your customers share with you. So we spend a lot of time and a lot of effort on that, right? And I mentioned our sort of standard tool that we put together, a combination of models called EYQ earlier. That's walled off, right? And that was all done on purpose. And some people were frustrated that we were too slow. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were too slow because you have to balance both sides of the equation. Mm-hmm. So, to the listeners out there, I think there are going to be some constituents in your organization that are telling you you're not going fast enough, right? Some are going to tell you you're going too fast. And what should happen is that both sides should be unhappy, right? And then you're sort of striking a balance, right?
All right.
I think you absolutely have to balance the two. You should slow down and make sure that you've got the guardrails around what you're doing, that you've, the brakes are working, that sort of thing. And take your time, because if you ruin your brand, man, it's really hard to get it back.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. I think what Jay is saying, sometimes to go fast, you need to go slow.
Yeah.
And just to balance it with that, because the one thing you cannot risk is your brand, I think, Jay. And that's a great piece of advice for someone who's had a tremendous background in risk management. Jay, you deal with so many startups, so many innovative companies, and technically you could even say OpenAI, Anthropic, and others. Mistral are startups, really. They were around a few years. I mean, Mistral and Anthropic just a couple of years. Tell the chief AI officers, what are some hot trends that you are emerging, two or three, that they should be looking out for? Because you, of all people, you have the coolest job. You get to talk to all these cool, smart, young, energy-focused entrepreneurs who want to change the world. So these folks want to know, what should they be looking out for? Give them your experience here.
Sanjay, I agree with you. It's a great job. I'm tremendously grateful for the opportunity to be able to do what we do every day. So, it's old. Cybersecurity, right?
Really?
AI helps you do a lot of things at great speed. Be very creative in your approach to business is also helps the bad actors to be very creative. And there's lots and lots of opportunity in cyber, right? It's a fragmented space, right? There's a lot of people in the space, and we pay a lot of attention to it. Our clients are worried about this all the time. And I just hear a lot of these conversations on the client side all the time, right? certainly vertical AI or these, you know, can you imagine, Sanjay, somewhere down the road where each of us has a model built for each of us, right?
Personalized LLMs.
Personalized.
Or SLM, small language models.
That's what we're hearing more and more of, right? Mm-hmm. And even the big guys are now headed there, right? Mm-hmm. So let's get something that's more controlled, that's smaller, that's, you know, less expensive to train and tune and that kind of thing, but can solve a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And a problem where there's payback. So that's what I would advise people, you know, is the focus is there. The technology is understood and available now. Mm-hmm. So you can stand something up and go solve an issue, right? And on the one hand, and on the other hand, on the protection side, I think cyber is a big deal. The whole responsible AI thing that you mentioned earlier that we were talking about. Wow. I think there are great opportunities there. And you know, this audience is full of smart people, so I think there's got to be some people on here that are doing great things. I've been so blown away by the companies that we've met, Sanjay.
Yeah.
You know, over the past year plus, I mean, really, really sharp people, right? That have been so valuable to EY, and hopefully we've been valuable to them, right? By helping distribute a little bit of their product. It's just made us better, and I, you know, I'm just so happy and grateful to have this opportunity to deal with these tremendous startups and founders.
Jay, just as a follow on, I mean, you pointed to very important things is obviously cyber and the application of AI within cyber. Cyber, obviously, I mean, we know what happened with CrowdStrike. It took down entire industries and economies. You know, we're talking billions of dollars. And then you talked about the verticalization of large language, small language model, et cetera. Any thoughts on agents or digital twins? I mean, that's what I hear a lot now from chief AI officers. And I thought I'll just bring that up to you. If you have any thoughts, or do you see any companies or any kind of traction on the ground as far as that is concerned?
Yeah. Agentic AI is everything.
Yep.
The buzzword. And you've also, you know, I'm sure, you know, read the hypothesis that not too far down the road, you know, Sanjay Puri could be a founder of a company with no people.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
A company of agents. And I think it's highly possible. I've met some couple of interesting companies that are, you know, very focused on agents. And I mean, we're doing that, right? We have... Mm-hmm. And if you think about what we do, just pick one of our business, pick tax, right? Mm-hmm. Something that's heavily rules-based, right? Mm-hmm. And you could effectively, you know, create an agent for a chunk of work within a certain rule area, right? That would be the thing that would do it in every engagement. And then you have a different one. You have one called Sanjay, you have one called Jay, mm-hmm. right? And then when I want to go deliver an engagement for a client, I call Sanjay and Jay, but we're agents, right? Mm-hmm. And then I assign them to those things are actually being worked on right now in our firm. So I'm very excited about it. I actually don't think it's as simple as our ambitions would lead us to believe that, you know, within 2 years that Sanjay is going to have a $10 billion company of agents. I think you will, but I don't know if it's 2 years. I think there's a lot there and a part of the lot there is the flip side of the coin, right? Mm-hmm. Are you doing this responsibly? Are you using the data effectively? You have everything in place to allow you to use that agent the way a human would have done it. And I think that preparation in an organization takes time.
Yeah. So it's still early on, the timing is not known, but I think what Jay is telling a lot of our startup companies and chief AI officers, obviously, cyber AI is here, and obviously vertical models are here and will be here and will solve a lot of our problems. Jay, this is you know, one of our purposes of doing this podcast is we want to democratize AI talent, so to speak, because the whole purpose is if all, you know, every kid from Stanford, MIT, Carnegie, or wherever around the world ends up at the, so to speak, Magnificent Seven, then, you know, we won't really get the value of AI, whether it is at manufacturing companies, who are your clients, healthcare companies, financial services companies, you know, things that actually we all need. And they have some amazing applications, and their chief AI officers come and talk about why theirs is such an incredible place to work. How does ENY approach the education upskilling of its workforce? Because things are changing so fast, and this really kind of relates to what others are doing in terms of attracting talent. I mean, do you have a formal process, an informal process? Or how does that work?
We do. So we, it's a huge investment, Sanjay. So I'll just throw some stuff out there to tell you some of the things we're doing. So I mentioned 400,000 people, right? Mm-hmm. Almost 14,000 partners or some large number like that. So we do have roles-based training. So partners generally are older and not all older, because they're certainly, you know, a number of them who have been here less than 33 years. So the training we do for that group is a bit more high touch. So we run these boot camps and we bring them in and we make it very experiential. They have to put their fingers on keyboards, learn how to use the tools and, you know, do prompts and all that kind of stuff. We started all of that last year, you know, a year plus ago. And that continued. We want to get just about everybody through that. And then we have something called EY badges. I don't know if that's stuff's on the website too. But badges is a program we have for just about any kind of training we want to do. And there are a series of AI badges. So you could, and there are a bunch of courses from AI basics all the way through to the more complex stuff. And what we want is for people to actually take them, which they are. And so, you know, the 400,000 people, our expectation is that they're taking those courses. Our expectation is that they're using the tools that we provided, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can, you know, use the two together. And our expectation is that they're actually working on clients and applying those things and learning, right? You know, and helping their teams to be better and the most successful they can be. So, that's how we're approaching it. You know, we've had clients that come to us and say, you know, help us and do a little training program for our people. And we've done that, right? I mean, that's good for the relationship. And what we do is that we take our program and we tailor make it a little bit and then we go apply it. But we use a lot of outside help too, mm-hmm. right? Because, I mean, we have good people here, but we don't have the corner of knowledge, right? There are lots of brilliant people outside there. And we bring them in, we work together, try to help each other out as much as we can. This is a long road. I mean, what is it they're saying right now? If it's a baseball game, we're in the first inning.
Yeah.
So it does feel that way, right? But I do. I mean, I was on easy a year ago because mm-hmm. it was just coming at you. Like the hype cycle was incredible. I feel better today because we've slowed down, right?
Yeah.
And people are saying, okay, we get it. Now let's think about how we use this mm-hmm. For the benefit of our companies, of our stakeholders, and, you know, and responsibly. So it's moving. I think we feel the way I just described. I mentioned I was in another country last week. I would say they're probably a year behind us here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna be in the same place, right? Probably right. Faster than we got here. But everyone's going to get to a point where it's going to become, I'm going to borrow your word, democratized, right?
Right.
And I think what you're going to see is a comfort level with AI that would be better than it was a year ago, right? And then once you have that, you know, people will have a better understanding of what it can do. They start building applications for it. The venture capital community obviously is very important, Sanjay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your recent comment about the Mac 7, to invest in, you know, maybe some of the listeners are on this call, the founders of startups, that capital is needed. So, because there's great ideas there and there's incredible energy, to develop things that sometimes only entrepreneurs can.
That is true. So I think what Jay is saying is there is an incredible process, obviously with E&Y being such a large organization, they have internal training, role-based training, and specifically AI training that exists. And it's a big investment that is needed for organizations. So you're listening in, it is a commitment that needs to be made. Jay, just as a follow-on, so let's say if you bring a technology company, I don't know, pick any company that you're bringing into partner or startup, will they train your partners in their, because there is some level of knowledge and knowledge transfer that needs to happen internally too. So do they do that for you or with the clients, or how does that happen, or is it a one-off case?
Good question. So pick an alliance partner or a relationship with a technology. Do they invest with us to make sure our people are up to speed? That's kind of where you're going, Sanjay?
Well, yeah, I'm just asking because there are going to be startups who are going to be coming to you. So I just want them to be prepared that they need to be ready to do knowledge transfer also. What I'm kind of trying to tell them.
Absolutely. Really good point. I mean, for us to be effective partners with the emerging technology companies or big tech, mm-hmm. It applies to both. We have to have a good understanding of, at a minimum, the application, mm-hmm. of the product. And so, yeah, it's a requirement. It's typically not that hard to do. Right. But usually, we need that so we can sell effectively together. It's commonplace.
This has been a really, really great conversation. And I really, appreciate your taking the time, because I think our listeners have learned so much from your insights and experiences with our audience. And, your perspective on the intersection of AI and business strategy and startups is truly valuable. And to our listeners, I hope you found this episode informative and inspiring. And remember, whether you're a current CIO or an aspiring leader, there's always more to learn in this rapidly evolving field. So thank you so much, Jay, for being such a great guest. And we hope to have you on again, because there's a whole bunch of questions that our listeners had that we'll get to at another time. Thank you.
Sanjay, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it very, very much. I look forward to seeing you again.
Same here.
All right.